wasn't from the friendly side of the Crayola box. Not by a long shot. We closed the door, destroyed the source. This shit doesn't exist anymore. Except that despite my brain's insistence to the contrary, it apparently did. Tina, for her part, continued to smile the innocent grin of a child too young to understand she was playing with the magical equivalent of a cruise missile.
Isn't it cool, Uncle Bill?
Yeah, cool is one word for it. Did I mention that talking to kids wasn't one of my specialties?
I was thinking about that man in the movie we watched, the wizard, Ganny.
My left eye twitched for a moment. I think you mean Gandalf, sweetie. Trust me, there's a difference. She shrugged, unconcerned.
Yeah, that's his name. I thought about him and then it just appeared.
I was tempted to ask how, but then remembered she was a preschooler, still at an age where shows about talking hamsters were considered high entertainment. Besides, I already knew the last part of the how. Tina's mother was a former witch, after all. But she wasn't anymore. No one was. Or, at least, that had been my assumption up until this moment. How is this even fucking possible? Sadly, any answers would have to wait, as Tina got to her feet and faced me.
Wanna play catch?
A better person would have done something. Called 911, grabbed the fire extinguisher, maybe even tried to wrestle the magical death ball away from Tina. I, however, froze, as every instinct in my body refused to process whatever the hell was happening. So this is how it ends. A 5-year-old was going to do what a legion of monsters had failed at. Kill me with extreme prejudice. But then, just as she was about to lob the orb of fiery doom toward me, it winked out of existence. It didn't fade or pop or any dramatic shit like that. It was as if a light switch somewhere had simply been turned off.
Oh, poop,
she cried, before covering her own mouth, as if she'd said something dirty.
Sorry.
Considering the litany of colorful words dancing on the tip of my tongue, I wasn't about to call her kettle black. Besides, I was too busy counting how many years had been scared off my life. Oddly enough, though, freaked out as I was, I realized that strange feeling in the back of my head, the one that had struck me when Tina first called out to me, seemed to fade away in the same instant her spell had. Of course, no longer being in the line of fire probably didn't hurt matters either. I pushed all that aside, however, because of one simple fact. Whatever the hell was going on, I was in way over my head. Fortunately, one upside to surviving the end days was knowing others who had too. People who I could talk to about this stuff without sounding batshit crazy. My first instinct was to call Sally, my old partner in crime. Though she might not have been as spry as she'd been in those days, she had a sharp mind and an ability to cut through the bullshit like a hot knife through butter. But this wasn't just about me. A little girl, barely old enough for kindergarten, had just conjured up a ball of energy containing enough eldritch power to seriously fuck up my insurance premiums. Keeping this from her mother made me a piss-poor godparent. If she found out after the fact, I'd deserve whatever verbal ass-kicking came my way. She'd been called away at the last minute, filling in for a sick colleague at some trade convention. Busy as she was, though, I had a feeling this was worth the interruption. I pulled out my phone and dialed her. Hey, Christy, it's Bill. I think we have a bit of a problem. So call me back when you get a chance. Goddamn voicemail. There'd been a time when the whole point of cell phones was to actually reach someone. I probably should have sent her a Facebook message or maybe a Snapchat instead. Chances were she'd see that sooner. Either way, it left me back at square one, dealing with a little girl from Firestarter, still happily playing in her father's old room as if nothing out of the ordinary had happened. I glanced toward my own bedroom for a moment. Not too long ago, there'd been someone else living here I could have turned to for guidance. But those days were likewise over. Pity, because she'd have had a much better shot of surviving Tina's... The downstairs bell rang, pulling me from those unhappy thoughts. Someone wanted to be let in, although, I noted, it was way too early for any of my guests to arrive. Oof! In my haste to reach the door buzzer, I tripped over one of the dozen or so boxes cluttering my living room, each labeled with an illustration of a Morticia Adams lookalike, and the words, Immortalis, age-defying cream. I managed to catch myself before I face-planted on the floor, but just barely. God damn it! Fucking Dave and his stupid get-rich-quick schemes. Almost like clockwork, Tina's voice came floating out of the bedroom.
You said a bad word.
I know.